Evident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com on this June the 2nd on the West Coast, and June the 3rd now on the East Coast and Central Time Zone. Welcome to the show. Got a great show planned for you this evening. Before we go into the subject matter of tonight's show, I wanted to give a heads up to anyone who has been following my article on the Three Stooges. The Three Stooges Go to Washington, it's called, and it is readable online at directlightproductions.com. And a friend of mine tipped me off today. I guess the Idaho Observer has also posted it on their site. I kind of like mine a little bit better. It's more artistic, but either way, you can go to This is the URL, idaho-observer.com. You will be redirected to proliberty.com, proliberty.com. And you'll scroll down to this past month's article, May 2008, and you will find the Three Stooges Go to Washington. If you subscribe to the paper, it's in the middle section. I think it's on pages 16 and 17. And if you don't subscribe, you should. Why not? Why aren't you? Give them a call at 1-800. Oh, wait. Let's start that over. Give them a call at 1-208-255-2307. Again, that number is 1-208-255-2307. And ask for Don or Ingrid. They'll be happy to sign you up. It is a monthly newspaper. It comes out 12 times a year, maybe even 13 once in a while. And what I've heard is from a lot of people is this is one of the best issues they have ever seen. In fact, Don Harkins himself told me that this is his favorite issue of all the papers that he's published. A lot of truth in there. So check out Direct Light Productions or the Idaho Observer and read the Three Stooges Go to Washington. Now, we're coming out with an expanded piece, the conclusion of part one, as well as hopefully the whole thing on Obama. And those of you who are following what's going on in the news, I can assure you that these people are not who they claim to be. And it's rather unnerving what's going on. Now, speaking of unnerving, a week ago I had tonight's guest on, and We talked about all kinds of things. He's actually been on my show a few times now over the past year, although he hadn't been on recently until last week. And then with some things going on in his personal life, he had occasion to call into the show one night, and so he was a surprise guest when we had trouble getting Dr. Kasem Khalil online with us. And I'm pleased to offer him the opportunity to tell you his personal story right now, what is going on in real time as we speak. And I urge you to tell your friends to listen to this show. You are going to really want to hear what tonight's guest has to say. He is a talk show host. He has his own show, The American Awakening, on republicbroadcasting.org, and he is Monday through Friday broadcasting for 2 hours and bringing the truth to people. Evidently, those that like to pull the strings of the planet don't like what he has to say, and so they are, as you will see, targeting him through targeting his family. And this is an appalling story And tonight's guest has to share this with my listening audience on Evident Footprints tonight. Also, he's an excellent musician and somewhat of a singer as well. And my good friend, tonight's guest, Michael Herzog. Michael, good evening.
Somewhat of a singer. All right. The truth, Don. Well, thank you for having me on, and I appreciate being able to tell the story to your listening audience, because the truth of the matter is that, you know, in this age that we live in, we need to be diligent, we need to be awake, we need to know what's going on, and tragically, as you know me behind the scenes, there's been something that has happened in our family that is, it's appalling, it's unnerving, it's very frustrating, it's maddening. I mean, there are numerous adjectives that could describe it, but let me just start by saying that I married an immigrant from Scotland that came over here on what is called a visa waiver, and she brought her three children. At the time, they were, well, one was 15, one was, I believe, 7 and 8, and I married her while she was here on a 90-day visa waiver, which means that she was legal to be here, and I married her legally. And we went down and paid an attorney, filed the application fees, paid the government their, you know, outrageous fees for all of the pertinent documents, went through a two-year waiting period to get to a meeting with the immigration officials to finalize the procedure. In the meantime, they issued Lindsay, my wife, and her three children social security cards, work permits. The children went to school. The oldest one has graduated from high school now. And interestingly enough, the immigration department lost their fingerprints, or lost Lindsay's fingerprints, on four different occasions. They requested being re-fingerprinted. They lost her file twice. They requested the same information three times, all three times, of which was sent. They claim they don't have it. The oldest daughter, Megan's file, was strangely separated from the original file. So there's been an ongoing mass of screw-ups, if you will. I'm going to shorten this a little bit by saying that recently, within about the past month, Megan, the oldest daughter, received a very benign letter from immigration that said for her to come down for her annual status review. Now, her work permit had expired because she wasn't working anyway, and she didn't feel like going down to renew it, so she didn't bother with that. But when she went down to this annual status review, she took her mother with her and her younger sister, and also a friend of theirs. Surprisingly, at the interview, they arrested Megan and detained her. Now, Lindsay, of course, my wife, went into fits. She was very, very upset, and she asked why she was being detained. At the time, the officer couldn't tell her, but she asked to go back and talk to a supervisor to find out if they would release her, because there obviously was a mistake. And the supervisor originally came back out about 15 minutes later and says, okay, we will release her, but we have to process her first, and then we'll let her go. So you sit here and wait for about an hour, hour and a half, and we'll bring her out. 3 hours later, the man comes out and says, well, I'm sorry, but we have a problem here. We're not going to release her. We're detaining her because she has violated a four-year-old immigration visa waiver. And he read the back of this card. And on the back of this visa waiver card, it stipulated that if you go beyond your 90 days of visitation or whatever in the United States without permission from immigration, then you are in violation of the law. Well, this is the reason that they gave for her arrest and detainment. The problem, Don, is that she had permission. Now, we found that very, very strange. the arresting officer had told Lindsay at the time that, you know, she would be out of here within a couple of days, Megan would, being deported back to Scotland. Well, this was last Tuesday, and now today on the East Coast is Tuesday again, so it's been a week. She was taken, interestingly enough, instead of the detainment center 3 miles away from where the immigration hearing was, she was shipped outside of the county to a place called Florence, which is about, oh, I'd say 90 miles from Phoenix. And there are 9 prisons down there, state prisons, privatized prisons, immigration prisons. The entire town is a big prison.
Now, is that on the way to Tucson, or?
Well, it's semi on the way to Tucson, yeah. It's east of Casa Grande, which is about a third of the way to Tucson, and then you've got to go east about 20 miles.
Okay.
At any rate, it gets more and more interesting by the minute. Now, the last time I talked to you, there are some things that I didn't share with you because I didn't know them yet.
Mm-hmm.
Once they got her in there, she has been able to collect telephone calls. Now, the telephone calls themselves, I believe they're about $3 for the first minute and then a dollar or whatever for the second. So it's about $20 a telephone call. And she calls 4 or 5 times a day, obviously, because she's distraught. Well, these people listen to the telephone calls. And
sure, they tape everything.
Wednesday night, Megan called her mother, and her mother assured, she was begging and pleading and crying, saying, "When are you coming down to see me?" And her mother told her that we would be down as early as possible Thursday morning, which we did. We went and rented a car, and we drove down there. We didn't get down there at about 12:30. But what's interesting is what played out that day. We went into the detention facility up to the receptionist, and the receptionist said to fill out a form. I filled out a form, and it required the vehicle, of which I didn't know because I had rented the vehicle. And I said, "Well, do I have to put this in there?" And she made a very snide. This girl was only 23, 24 years old. And she says, "Well, if you want to see your daughter, I guess you're going to have to now, aren't you?" Which was, you know, I took as being a very snide remark. Interesting anomalies. You know me as a researcher and investigator and also a somewhat of a journalist. I pick up on things. There's 3 payphones, 2 of them inside, 1 of them outside. This girl, Lindsay had asked, the girl had said that, well, we could see her, but she's not there right now. And Lindsay asked where she was. She says, "Well, we don't know. ICE has her, and ICE does not tell her. You know, they don't tell us where they take her." Now, that's lie number one, okay?
Mm-hmm.
As we went through the day, we found out numerous lies that were being told to us. Anyway, there are, there's 3 pay telephones in there. She gave us a telephone number of a lady that we could call to find out why ICE had taken her out of the facility. 3 pay phones in the facility, none of them worked. Our cell phone didn't work. We had to drive into town to another pay phone and call this number that was provided by this girl. When Lindsay called the number, the woman that answered the phone said she didn't know why this woman had given her the number because she couldn't tell us anything, put us through to another person who yelled at us and hung up on us. And then she called back again, and they gave us the same number of the lady who had told us to call this other number to begin with. But I have to tell you, Don, this is typical of what we've been going through for the past week. It's been a nightmare. Now, before exiting that detention center, I happened to hear another lady that had walked up to the counter. I happened to hear her mention the word money order. And we had brought $120 down there to put on Megan's account, which will be another story I'll tell you in a few minutes. But before that, I told Lindsay to wait, and I waited for this elderly lady to walk out. And I said, "Excuse me, ma'am, did I hear you say money order?" And she said, "Yes." And I said, "Is that because they will not accept cash?" And she said, "Yes, that's right." So I visualized us going back in there at some point in time had I not met this older woman and this receptionist smiling at me with glee by virtue of the fact that I'd have to make yet another trip out of my way. These people seem to take delight in torturing, mentally torturing people.
Mm-hmm.
Not all of them, but a good part of them do. So we spent the next 6 hours. Now remember, they took Megan out of this facility at 6 a.m. in the morning of what I think was because of that phone call that made the night before. They took her to another facility a mile away for a supposed deportation hearing. Now we did not find that out from anybody in this detention facility. We had to go investigate. We went to a county courthouse next door that had no affiliation with immigration, with Homeland Security. And it was a guard in there that told us that these white buses run every hour, and they pick these prisoners up, and they take them down for whatever they take them down for, and then they bring them back, right? So the buses ran every hour. The girl at the reception desk knew exactly where Megan was because they have to tell them when they check them out. The girl at the reception desk told us to come back at 3 o'clock. Why did she tell us that? Because her shift ends at 2, and she wouldn't have to put up with us, getting a little bit put out with her. Make a long story as short as possible, we took a trip down to this other facility of which we were not granted entrance, but the guard there was very nice. They were complaining because they don't find anything out. Their employer tells them nothing as well. But one guard was able to find out that indeed Megan was in that facility at a deportation hearing. Why she was in a deportation hearing is anybody's guess, because they asked her 3 questions, all of which they already knew. One is, your passport expired. They already had her passport. They knew it was expired. But here's the rub, is they kept this girl down here for 12 hours to interview her for 5 minutes, and the rest of the time she sat in a 10-by-10 room full of other immigrants, which she could have been bused back to that facility any hour on the hour by any one of these buses. The lady at the reception desk knew it. Now, that in itself might not seem like a lot, but they put us through hell for 6 hours trying to find out where she was, what she was doing, and the only thing they led us to believe is that ICE or Homeland Security had her out. We didn't know where.
Mm-hmm.
So we went back and forth. We came back about, I believe it was about 5:20 when I came back into the detention center, and I asked the new receptionist if Megan had returned yet, and she replied no. Frantically, we went back down to the other place, talked to the guard, and we got the guard to go in there and see if he could find anything out, and it's now about 6:15. We go back down to the other facility again and come to find out another receptionist tells us that Megan had been back since 5 o'clock. And so, obviously, we're getting very aggravated at this. But all that aside, now we finally get to see her for the first time to find out how she's doing. And to our shock and amazement, when we walked in to see her after they put us through the metal detector and, you know, do their little wand search and all that stuff, we walked in and sat down in front of a television screen, Don.
They wouldn't let you meet her in face-to-face.
They would not let us see her personally. We could see her on a television screen, and we had no idea where she was. The only thing we could see is we could see her in a cell, and we got to talk to her for 30 minutes. Now, beyond that, it's interesting to note that Megan had mentioned in the conversation that she was very tired. She had a long day because she got up at 6 o'clock in the morning. She was down there for 12 hours, and she was going to bed as soon as this interview was over. To add insult to injury to this, 10 o'clock that night, we found out in a later collect telephone call, they yanked her out of her cell, put shackles on her legs, put handcuffs on her, and dragged her off 90 miles to Phoenix to a hospital from 10 p.m. till 5 in the morning. This is after being in the court all day, and this is after us coming to visit and her going back to her cell. They yanked her out of her cell and took her to Phoenix. And she was up all night while they were jabbing her with needles and taking blood tests on her because they had claimed that she was pregnant. They had taken 3 tests on her, and they had claimed she was pregnant. Now they're taking her up there to a Phoenix hospital and jabbing needles in her.
And do you think that's really what's going on?
I don't know what's going on. We're very, very concerned as to what's going on. I will say this, and I know I'm jumping the gun a little bit here because your listening audience probably doesn't know all the particulars around this, but let's go back to the reason for the arrest. The reason for the arrest, the arresting officer had read the back of this card that said that, you know, you're in violation of a 4-year-old visa waiver, which is bogus because she has the proper paperwork now. What's interesting is we've been on the telephone with British Immigration, the British consulate.
Mm-hmm.
Lindsay was on the phone with the British consulate for about an hour this morning. Nice lady. They've been putting a lot of pressure on Homeland Security to get Megan out of here, to get her back to Scotland. She does not want to come back. She does not want to be released in the United States. She now wants to go home. She wants nothing to do with this country anymore, and neither does her family, my family. But Homeland Security told the British Embassy this morning that the reason for Megan's arrest is because she failed to show up for an immigration hearing.
Now, how did they arrest her? Where did the arrest take place, according to them?
If
she didn't show up.
Well, no, they're not talking about this latest time. They're talking about the last time that they sent her a notice for an immigration hearing. But the rub on that one, Don, is she did show up. She was interviewed by an officer named Alex. They recorded the entire interview, and that was in August of 2007. So that was the second lie of the day of Homeland
Security. And they probably took fingerprints and conveniently lost them again, right? On that.
Well, they have the meeting recorded, and at that meeting, the immigration officer Alex, I don't know his last name, but he threw his hands up in the air. He said he had no idea why her file was separated from the master file, which contained mine and Lindsay's applications with the other kids. Well, connecting the dots now, we realize why it was separated. They separated it deliberately.
Mm-hmm.
One file is not part of the other, okay? And it's a totally separate file. But everything that they are telling the British consulate is a lie. So you have to ask yourself the question, why are they lying about this?
Mm-hmm.
So this then is going to take me back to February of this year, when Homeland Security called my wife and they said that they were having a problem with her employment and they wanted to have a meeting with her. So they arranged a meeting at 1 o'clock in the afternoon on a Tuesday, I believe, and this was on a Monday. And they started asking my wife very bizarre questions about me. Was I dangerous? Does she know the owner of my network? Does she know the contacts that I have in specific states in the union? Does she know what my status is with the IRS? And, of course, she answered no to a lot of those questions. And they said, well, we would suggest that you have no contact with your husband and you divorce him immediately.
So they're marriage counseling on top of it now
they're in the marriage counseling. So my wife immediately told me all of this. And evidently her phone was bugged because Homeland Security found out about it and immediately terminated the meeting she was going to have the next day and terminated her employment. Now, she has not been employed. She's not been able to work for the past 4 months. And by the way, she had a real decent job. But let's fast forward now to the 16th of April. Lindsay gets a very strange letter from Immigration in the mail that it does not depict any violation. There are a number of different violations that could have been, violated on the front, along with a checkbox that an immigration officer would mark if that's the specific category of violation. She was sent this letter. It was a generic letter. None of the boxes were checked. And at the bottom, it had two sentences that said, you are requested to appear at a time and a date specified later to show cause why you should not be deported. Well, there is no cause why she should not be deported because they have her file, they have her money, they've issued her all of the pertinent documents, and there's no reason for the letter to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
So,
for the sake of the audience, Michael, let's point out the fact that there is no attorney representation here. And in the case of Megan and most likely, through the criminal impoverishment that they're generating here, that you can't afford an attorney to just keep paying out thousands and thousands of dollars to be caught in this vicious circle. So for the listeners, well, you know, I just want to point that
right,
out.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. And I probably should back up and say during this entire week, I've gotten little sleep and I have talked to numerous government officials, congressmen, senators, immigration specialists that work in Congressman John Kyle's office, John McCain's office, Congressman Trent Frank's office. And what's interesting, Don, is they all keep pointing us back in the direction of a deportation, an immigration deportation attorney, a quote, expert. So I picked up the phone and I called a couple of these quote, experts. And it was very interesting what kind of, diatribe I got from these two. The one I backed into a corner and I told him the situation and I asked him how much it would cost to get her out. And he paused for about 10 seconds and he said $7,500. And I said, is that a guarantee? And he said, no. So, immediately I smelled a rat. And beyond that, I've talked to many people in the Patriot Movement, people that have gone pro se and so forth. And my consensus with them is correct, is do not even bother to hire one of those. And I'll go further on that in a minute. But I want to tell you a quick snippet about the other attorney I talked to, who went off on all these legal ramifications and tried to paint this rosy picture. And he told me that this was going to be a very long, drawn-out process, and it would be very expensive. But in the end, you will be back in the loving arms of your daughter. Well, in one of those collect phone calls that Lindsay made, or that Megan made to Lindsay the other night, she gave us a couple stories of women that she had talked to that are currently in there. One woman is married to an American that has been paying one of these attorneys for 3+ years. This woman is still in there, and this attorney has drained her husband out of almost all of his savings, plus a mortgage on his house. Another woman has been in there that was pregnant, went entirely through the pregnancy, and when she gave birth, they deported her, and they kept the child. Which is a whole nother racket of adopting out the babies. So with that, and this woman had an attorney as well, okay? So with that, I'm saying, you know, I don't think I want to get an attorney. I think in this case I'll just have to not trust the government, but I'll have to trust that the British consulate puts enough pressure on these people to get this 19-year-old girl out of the country.
I would suspect, Michael, that the reason they gave Megan a pregnancy test is because if she's pregnant, they'll keep her in there for 9 months until she has, or whatever time it would take to have the baby, and they would do the same thing to her. I would venture to say that that's probably happening to any woman that's arrested when she's pregnant. Now, I don't tell you that to alarm you or to make it seem more than what it is, but that appears to be why they would give her a pregnancy test. It's insanity what's going on. I mean, this is absolutely demonic. And
the scams and are innumerable. You have the scam of the collect telephone calls. You have the scam of them, you know, letting a lady go through pregnancy and keeping her baby. You have the scam of the gruel that they serve in the prison with, for breakfast, a 6-ounce glass of juice, for lunch, a 4-ounce glass of juice, and for dinner, nothing. Yet the water is atrocious. It is probably, I would assume, got 12% fluoride, much bacteria in it, cloudy, and they encourage the prisoners to drink of the water. Now, the next scam is you can put money on the account, and you can buy bottled water, or you can buy a bar of soap for $5.50, or you can buy, you know, a bottle of shampoo that costs 3.5 times as much as it does in the grocery store. You see, they've got you coming every which way but loose. They're scamming you in any way they can. They are draining you financially. They are draining you emotionally. And they are sucking off of the lifeblood of people in there. Now, we had occasion also, and here's another interesting tidbit. while we were going around and talking to different people outside of the federal system, we happened to run into, at one of the trips down to the guard shack at the other facility, we happened to run into a legal immigrant who had his green card. He was beside himself because he had driven a long way with a check, a bond that he was posting for $7,500 to get one of his friends out of incarceration who had been detained for quite some period of time. He had been waiting there all day from early in the morning. It was late in the afternoon by this time. And he had just discovered, they had just informed him that they were not going to release his friend to him. And even though he had the money, they weren't going to release his friend to him because the gentleman that got, that drove all that way and brought the check was not an American citizen. He was a legal immigrant with a green card, but he wasn't an American citizen, so they wouldn't release him.
Now, this is if I can interject something here, you're telling me all this, and the listening audience, and what's going through my mind, Michael, is they're letting millions of people come over the border, paying them, giving them our jobs, giving them welfare, giving them paying with our Social Security, and free education, free health care, the whole nine yards, and they're doing this to people who are here legally. This is atrocious. This is just incomprehensible what is going on.
Don, this is what's going on behind the scenes that the American public knows nothing about. And what's interesting even further than that is that I've been on numerous radio shows. This is the third show I've been on today. The mm-hmm. patriot community, the people that are awake, the people that have the glasses on and can see, these people are as congenial as anybody you'd want to know. They're coming out of the woodwork. They're asking what they can send, how can they help. They're genuine, loving, patriotic Americans. But if you take this story out to anyone in the mainstream, whether it's a dumbed-down American, whether it's an individual that works in a government office, they think you're crazy. They say, no, that couldn't happen. Our government wouldn't do that.
Yes, now, Michael, I know. Well, go ahead.
I was going to say, yes, our government would do that, and yes, they are doing that, because there's immense amount of profit to be made by this. At the expense of my stepdaughter, who is a 19-year-old, very pretty, very intelligent girl, who, by the way, if I might be so bold as to mention to the listening audience, this girl is awake. She used to do a little research for me when I had a local radio show in Phoenix on KFNX, and she'd been on my show a couple times, and she was patriotic. I mean, talking about an awake patriot, she was somebody who knew what the story was, to the point where three police showed up at the house one night at about 1 o'clock in the morning, and the garage door was open, and Megan was out in the garage. And these policemen wanted to come into the house to look for somebody that didn't even live there. And Megan stood her ground, and she said, "You're not coming into my house. I have a right to privacy." Well, they did it anyway after they smashed her down to the floor, stuck their knee in her back, and handcuffed her. But my point is that she stood her ground, and she didn't have any fear. This is the type of girl that we're speaking of here. This is a girl who has committed no crime, who has gone to high school, graduated. Her mother has paid the fees, has filled out every form that they have asked of her, and they have arrested this girl, and they're literally torturing her.
My God. Well, do you know by any chance, I know you're a researcher, have you looked into who has the security contract at this prison? Or let's use plural, prisons, because they're bouncing her from one facility to the other.
And they're doing that deliberately, yes.
Yes. They do that to anyone that speaks out against the government. They did that with Ed and Elaine Brown over their tax case up in New Hampshire. And they gassed Ed. I don't know what they did to Elaine, but I heard a recorded phone call where Ed was describing how he had been gassed and he had to put his face on the floor and try to get his nostrils lined up with the crack at the bottom of the door to try to breathe some fresh air. That's how much they were gassing him.
Right, I heard that, Hank. Yes.
Yes.
In answer to your question, I tried my best to go up the line to find out if I could, who pulled the trigger, who placed the order to arrest this girl.
Mm-hmm.
And I have been put on hold. I have been shipped off to somebody else. I've been left with voicemails. I've had calls not returned. I've been hung up on. And they cover for each other. Nobody will give up anything. And the senators and congressmen all claim that they can do nothing other than get periodic updates on her status. That's it. So this is a collusion. This is a massive fraud that's going on that all of these people are privy to, and they continue to try to steer people down the path of that immigration attorney. And, of course, they'll always tell you, oh, we know one, and he's a great guy, and he does wonders, and blah, blah, blah. Here's his number. Give him a call. But when you tell any of these people that you feel what's happening is because you've been targeted and give them any reasons why, which, by the way, all of the people that I've shared this story with, including yourself, they all concur, every one of them, that this is a target. We have been targeted. Do you not agree with what I've told you behind the scenes, Don?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And so far, I mean, you're handling it as well as anyone can handle it. But, you know, I ask anyone in the listening audience for a moment to put themselves in your position or in Megan's position. Again, I reiterate, we have millions of people illegally crossing our borders. I'm not talking about people coming here for the American dream. Look at your own lives and ask yourself, am I living an American dream or an American nightmare? And if you're living an American dream, then I congratulate you and I welcome you to go back to sleep. You won't wake up. But Michael is not exaggerating this story in the least, and I think you're being far too kind. And I think you're not getting the names because that sets them up for lawsuits, even though you would be going into a crooked playing field there as well.
Well, you know, in all honesty, Don, I don't think that they're even giving their real names, and I'll tell you why. The arresting officer, we got a business card from this gentleman with a phone number plus a cell number. And I called both numbers. I called the office number, of which you get nothing more than a voicemail. Leave a message, and then they don't call you back. On the cell phone, you get a gentleman that answers the phone that's not even the guy on the card. And then you leave a message with them, and they don't call you back. Now, I don't even think they listen to their messages, but the thing is that I also don't believe that these people are even giving you the right name.
You make a valid point. Let me stress something here. We had 9/11. After 9/11, all of a sudden we had the Department of Homeland Security. We had Israel involved with 9/11, despite what anyone thinks. I can tell you that I've found a paper trail, and so have many other researchers. There's a definite connection. Or yes, there's a definite connection to Israel. So when you say Department of Homeland Security, think of Nazi Germany, think of Israel. Now, Israel is operating that. Who is the head of the Department of Homeland Security? Michael Chertoff.
Michael Chertoff. Yes.
Where are his passports from, Michael?
Israel.
Tell the listening audience.
Israel and the United States.
Israel and the United States. Okay. So if Department of Homeland Security, the head of the department has an Israeli passport, that's telling the American people who is behind this. Why would they go after you for telling the truth about the corruption in government? And the New World Order and all of the, you know, the Agenda 21 and Rex 84 and all these secret programs that everybody knows about, but they just talk about. They don't really address the issue. They're provoking, number one, they're trying to provoke us to act so that they can declare martial law. And at the same time, they're trying to intimidate those of us who are telling the truth. And that's not going to happen. That is not going to happen.
Well, on the subject of Israel, Don, the particular day that she was arrested last Tuesday, and I mentioned this to you off the air, I think, Homeland Security hit my website 6 times. Interestingly enough, Israel, for the first time since I've owned my website, hit it 2x. It was correlated with the Homeland Security hit within 15 seconds of one another, and it was also correlated, after I did a little further research, within about 10 minutes of Megan's arrest. Now, yes, you can say that's a coincidence, but if you add all of the other dots and you connect these dots and you say, well, wait a minute here, why would they target me? As you know, I've exposed the Zionist movement for what they are. I have talked, and matter of fact, I've got a gentleman coming on my show Wednesday. We're going to do a tribute to Ernst Zundel, who was, and I've talked about Ernst before, who was arrested, interestingly enough, from a supposed immigration violation where he didn't show up for a hearing. He didn't show up for a hearing because he never got a notice. My daughter showed up for the hearing, and they're saying that she didn't. So you start tying in all these little dots and all these little coincidences, and you say, this isn't happenstance here. They didn't arrest this girl just because she violated a visa waiver, because they've already, just like with 9/11, they've already changed their story.
Yes. Well, now these congressmen and senators and all these public officials you talk to are nothing but traitors. They write the laws. They pass the laws. Okay? They are the authors of these laws, and they know darn well that these laws aren't being adhered to. They're not being abided by. They're being broken left and right. In fact, what is the Patriot Act? And they'll bring that up. 426 pages of what? Of Nazi propaganda or Israeli Nazi propaganda? The Zionist move to take over the United States government? That's what we're really talking about here. And one at a time, they want to come in and just snatch us, at night while everybody's sleeping, and hoping that, eventually everyone else is going to get the message, when all along they planned to kill millions of us, billions on the planet. This is the part that those who are asleep can't grasp.
I'll tell you what's even scarier, Don, is what I've concluded by this, based upon the efforts that I've tried to make in getting any kind of solid answers out of anyone, is that Homeland Security is an organization and a law unto themselves. They are beyond any reach. They are worse technologically, and they are worse intellectually, but the psyops that they run on people's minds than the Gestapo in Nazi Germany ever was. These people have got every nuance down of how to psychologically screw with somebody's emotion, screw with their mind, not only from the incarcerated individual, but also with the families. Every step of the way, every juncture, no answers, financial rape, emotional rape. And they seem to glean satisfaction out of it. They have these, Cheshire cat sort of grins when they tell you something that they know is a lie, but you can't prove it, and they make you jump through 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 hoops and dance around and try to get information out of somebody else. They love this. They enjoy it, Don. And this is what's really disheartening, because this country is not America anymore. This country has been taken over by a monster with tentacles that have permeated through every government organization, and it has turned into a demonic maze of legalities that the American citizen has to conform to their rule of laws that are intermingled in a twine of legalese that is impossible to understand unless you hire an attorney that just bleeds and rapes you. And if you don't do that, then you're literally at their mercy. Unless, fingers crossed, the British consulate can put enough pressure on these people to get my daughter out of this country, you may very well be right. They may very well be looking at going through a 9-month pregnancy, then deporting her and keeping her baby. And then what do they do with it? They adopt it out for, tens of thousands of dollars.
Probably hundreds of thousands of dollars.
This is the game that these people are playing. These people are not now, a number of these people are compartmentalized. They know not what they do, but the people that are pulling these strings know exactly what they're doing. They've got it down to an art. Homeland Security is not Homeland Security. It is Homeland Insecurity, and it is tenfold worse than the Nazi Gestapo ever thought of being.
Yes, I'm inclined to agree. What is your gut feeling? What should Americans be doing? What should the listening audience be doing, including the NSA?
They should be paying very close attention to this, because the hate crimes legislation is back in the Senate, and my prediction is within 1 year with the camps, and I saw them firsthand, there's 9 prisons down in Florence. One of them, I believe, is a concentration camp. They're all across this country. Within 1 year, I believe that they will be coming, and an incident will happen, whether it's false flag, a bioweapon, whatever it is. There's an incident coming that is going to cause martial law, and then they're going to start picking up anti-war activists, tax defiers, animal rights activists, abortion activists. All of these people are going to be picked up under the guise of Homeland Security. And I'll give you another interesting thought. Now, I just took a trip, Don, as you know. I drove from Phoenix back to my network in Round Rock, Texas. Mile marker 83 in New Mexico. I was astonished to see, Don, parked on the westbound side of Highway 10, right up close to an overpass, not 15 feet off of the freeway, a very, very, very dark olive green helicopter. Some would say it was almost black. And as I drove by, on the side of that helicopter, it said Department of Homeland Security. What in the world would that helicopter be doing on the side of the freeway? That's the first thing. The second thing is, a couple of years ago, I ran across a website that said UN vehicles on American soil. And it gave me a Google Earth military bases throughout the country, Oklahoma and Florida and San Diego, where you could actually zoom in with Google Earth and see tens of thousands of white vans parked in these parking lots at these military bases. And do you know what hit me when I was down in Florence the other day? Lindsay told me, she says, you remember when you did that Google Earth search and you saw all those UN vehicles? You know, the UN vehicles on American soil? And I said, yeah, I remember that. She says, look at this. She says, they weren't UN vehicles. They're Department of Homeland Security vehicles. And I looked out into the parking lot of that detention facility, and there was dozens of them. These vehicles are scattered all throughout military bases across this country. Thousands, tens of thousands of these. And their Department of Homeland Security. Now, why would they be sitting there, Don, unless they have plans to use them?
Also, they're starting to combine the Air Force bases and turn them into Army bases. That's kind of an interesting concept. Now, the number 83, the significance, when you said 83, you add 8 and 3, you get 11. There's their little secret Illuminati magic in this. Also, the number 8, let's say the letter H is the eighth number in the alphabet, and the 3 is a C, okay? And that is a neo-Nazi symbol for Heil Christ. So there's a double meaning for why they picked that mile marker. Right there, and I just gave it to you.
Interesting. Well, I'll tell you this. I saw no one around. I paid close attention. I saw nobody around anywhere. No trucks were up next to it, no cars, no human beings were anywhere near this helicopter. It was just there, sitting by itself. And I thought, and you know, all the way across there, I was waiting for an inspection, because they've been having these across the country. And interestingly enough, about 40 miles into Texas, we were cordoned off the freeway and went into an inspection station. And I must say They only asked, I went through there, and the guard just asked me one question. He says, "Are you an American citizen?" I said, "Yes," and he waved me on through. I was expecting to get pulled over and you know, them wanting to search my vehicle, because this is what's been going on across the country. That wasn't happening. They were looking for illegal aliens, I suppose. But they're looking for these illegal aliens that are pouring across the border. What are they doing? They're putting, you know, they're putting these illegal aliens into these facilities, and then they're raping them financially. They're raping them mentally. This is a game that they're playing. This, they want these illegals to come over the border to detain them, because they get paid for it.
Yeah, there's a lot more money that gets generated than what they give out for them. They've infiltrated enough big cities. Los Angeles, they've just about destroyed. I hear San Antonio's bad, and other cities in Texas. And I hear reports of New Jersey and Connecticut and even New Hampshire. I mean, they're having these problems. Of course, we have them everywhere in every state. And the fact that you are going through this personally to this extent on the basis of you being a researcher and a talk show host who brings world-class guests to your show, you have a huge listening audience, you are known all over the country and even in other countries. You know, I can say that having heard your show many, many times, and even having been on your show many times, you are concerned about the veracity of the information that not only you present, but also your guests. And you've even permitted me to host your show on an occasion. Many, many talk show hosts won't do that. And that says a lot about what you think of me and my work. But that said, why should you be suffering this? Well, you must be doing the right thing. We must all be doing the right thing.
Well, as you know, Don, my position is, you know, these people are cowards. If they want to come after me, they should come after me. But to target a 19-year-old girl, and I know why they targeted her. Originally, I suspected, and I think I shared this with you, that they would come after Lindsay.
Mm-hmm.
But they came after her daughter because she defied them and didn't do what they told her to do as far as divorcing me, not having any contact with me. That's why they went after her daughter. They wanted Lindsay to suffer pain as well. Now, the British consulate is aware of this situation. Lindsay was on the phone with them for a good hour today and explained the particulars behind the scenes of what's going on, along with the notice that she got 6 weeks or so ago. And the British consulate has told Lindsay in no uncertain terms, you need to get out of here, and you need to get out of here quick. So what we've done is we're setting up a website as we speak, and we're trying to raise the funds to get Lindsay and her two children out of here, because, frankly, I don't have the money. I can't get her out of here. They, through other bureaucrats and so forth, they have drained my money, and I cannot afford to put her on a jet and fly her back there. So we're putting together this website. We're going to put it up. It's called SaveLindsay.com. And it's going to show pictures of my family. It's going to show pictures of Megan, who is a beautiful, very intelligent girl. And I don't say that being biased, because I'm not her biological father. But this girl is model beautiful, which concerns me as well, because of what kind of treatment I hear that prisoners get in prison. You know, I'm not going to go into what some of the things I've heard that they do, but I'm very concerned about this girl's well-being. All that being said, you know, right at this point, I have fingers crossed that the British consulate will be able to put enough pressure on Homeland Security to get her out of here. But if they don't, they've got a timeline, and once they violate that timeline that I have in my mind, then I'm going to go pro se, and I'm going to file a discovery of habeas corpus. Not to, you know, show with habeas corpus itself, but I want them to show the charter that goes back to 1771, I believe it is, where they have to show their authority for what they're doing. And they're not going to like to see that. And I wanted to put that out on your show, on the airwaves, just in case there's anybody from Homeland Security listening, because this is a serious issue. And I'm not going in there and playing their game with an officer of the court. I will go in there pro se, and I'm going to start demanding to see the charter. And they're not going to like that. So they better get her out of here and get her out of here quick.
Well, another legal tort falls under the jurisdiction of the term quo warranto. And that is even their justification on the basis of whoever has been appointed illegally to represent that they have this authority over any American citizen, let alone someone from another country who is here legally and has all their papers in order and has complied with all their requests. Not to mention has been milked for every penny they have. So quo warranto is also something that you could look at.
Well, that's another thing I will look into. I've made dozens of phone calls to many very knowledgeable people, and I will have to tell you the people that have done their own private due diligence, as opposed to the so-called licensed experts, I will believe the pro se private researchers long before I'll believe any of those dumbed-down officials who know nothing, who don't believe what's going on. They believe their government is benevolent, and they are clueless.
They'll find out in time, won't they?
They will find out in time. It's a sad state in which we live, Don, when, you know, we supposedly live in a, quote, democracy, which you know as well as I do is a farce. It's two wolves and a sheep asking or voting on what's for dinner. We're supposed to live in a constitutional republic with unalienable rights for every individual, okay? But we're coming from behind when we live in a, when they say we live in a democracy, and the majority of those people are dumbed-down idiots who think our government is benevolent and has our best interest at heart, because that is the best form of propaganda that they've ever been able to put out, because it's a blatant lie.
Mm-hmm. Well, everything that I find in my research has uncovered lies, lies about our history, lies about our government, lies about the people who represent us, people who have sat in the Oval Office as president and vice president and all these positions underneath. This is nothing but an organized crime spy network. That's all it is. These people are gutter trash. And they know it. That's the thing. They have no honor amongst themselves. And so what do? They go after helpless, defenseless women and children and people with disabilities, elderly people. It doesn't matter. Whoever has money, whatever they can get their hands on. It's a sickness, but it's also demonic. I repeat myself. It's just purely demonic.
I concur 100%. I have seen behind the scenes, and you know, if it doesn't hit home with you, you hear it, you see it, and you give maybe 90% credence to it. But when it hits home with you, and you see it happening to one of your loved ones firsthand, you come away with a completely different perspective, because it jumps up and hits you in the face and says, you know what, all this stuff I've been reporting on, I was hoping that there was just the slightest possibility it wasn't true. But it is true. It's very true. And be scared. Be very scared. Because if you're not awake and you're not aware of it, you know, somebody that's awake, they can take some sort of defense against it. But if you are not awake, I mean, you know, she's fortunate. Megan's fortunate to know what she knows, and we're fortunate to be in a position we're in because we're watching these people under a microscope. Everything they do, we're logging it. Everything that they do, the British consulate is logging it. The British consulate knows behind the scenes what we know, and we have given them all the information, and they're paying very, very, very close attention to this, because this lady is not an American citizen, and they are not under the auspices to be able to do anything to her other than deport her. And if they don't do that, and they don't adhere to their own regulations, then they're going to have some really serious problems on their hands.
Yes. Well, Michael, I want to let you know that I am praying for you and your whole family, of course, for Megan as well. And I want to encourage the listening audience to do the same thing. And this archive will be posted as soon as possible on the BBS radio website as well as on my website. And I encourage anyone that's listening to the show to send it to everyone you know. Send it to your family. Send it to your friends. Also, visit this new website Michael mentioned, SaveLindsey.com. Now, that's SaveLindsey.com, correct, Michael?
That's correct, and it's not up yet. It'll be up in just a few days. We're waiting on the authorization from PayPal.
Okay.
But it will be up. There will be. I will pin a small article about it, and I will post pictures of who it is that we're trying to extricate from this country. These people came here under the auspices of a free country, land of the free, home of the brave. They've been here for 4 years, and they cannot wait to leave these shores. And that's a sad thing to say when this used to be America.
And I heard Lindsay on another show mention that she had been coming here for like 32 years for her summer vacation.
That's right. She's been coming here for 32 years, and she always, of course, she was, you know, here for 90 days at a time or whatever, and she was always under the impression, because she'd never lived here, she'd never had to endure any of this stuff. She has a completely different perspective now that she's lived here for 4 years, and she says that it is a living nightmare for her. She cannot wait. After dealing with immigration for the last 3.5 years, she cannot wait to leave this country.
Well, it's a shame.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I want to encourage the listening audience to pray for this family as well.
Well, it's a sad state of affairs, Don, when, you know, America, the American people used to be able to hold their head up high and be a proud people, and this was the beacon of the world, and people used to come here to believe that they could make their fortunes and live a better life. And this has been destroyed. It's been destroyed by a monster that has permeated throughout the society in every bureaucratic agency. And it's strangling this country. And people need to wake up and find out before it's too late. Unfortunately, I believe it is too late. I think that people have been sleeping for too long. And I think it's all but over. Only a massive, massive awakening in a very short period of time is going to stop this.
Well, anything is possible, and I know as long as I have a breath in my body, I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing and ramp it up as I have to. As they ramp it, I ramp it higher.
I know, and I've seen your work, Don. You do great work, and I know you're a believer in what you say. And, you know, of course, there are times, and this is one of those times, where I'm really starting to lose confidence in, you know, it's not just up to us. It's up to the people who listen to us to spread the word, to invite other people to listen to shows like yours and mine and others. Because we're in an info war. We're in a war for people's minds. And people either have to have their mind filled with the truth or filled with lies. There is no in-between. As long as they keep listening to this tripe and propaganda on mainstream radio and TV, their mind is being filled with lies and propaganda. And it's going to drop a hammer on them in the not-too-distant future.
Mm-hmm. And then they'll come running to us, asking us, what shall we do? What shall we do? And what do we tell them at that point? Go listen to the archives.
Well, again, you know, I don't know. It's, you know, it could be too late. It may not be. I hope it's not. But as I said, what's happening here with us and seeing this firsthand, what these demons do to you. They're picking a, you know, they'll pick on an Achilles heel. And of course my family is my Achilles heel. You know, and then they exploit them. They drain them emotionally. Obviously pulling Megan out of that prison cell, you know, the other night and also leaving her locked up for 12 hours in a little 10 by 10 room with 10 other people. Could you imagine, you know, chained, all right, just sitting on a bench doing nothing all day? No television, no clock, no nothing. Could you imagine doing that?
Deliberately
just to keep her away from her parents because they knew we were coming. That's demonic. That is, that is, I mean, it's, words can't describe, you know, what kind of action that is.
Well, I know there's a God, Michael, and I know that that these people are going to have one hell of an eternity of misery for all the misery they've created on this planet. And that's the thing that I know, that's the one thing I can look forward to, is knowing that, that they will rot and burn in hell. And that is too kind for them. That is too kind of a fate for them. So we're out of time, Michael. I want to thank you for coming on so late. I know it's been a long week for you, a long weekend. And again, I want the listening audience to go to Michael's website as well. TheAmericanAwakening.org is Michael's website. And this other website, which will be up in a couple of days, SaveLindsay.com. Help out the family if you're in a position to do so, and you will get your reward in heaven, if not here, for helping like that. Michael, any closing words?
No, I just want to thank you again, Don, for allowing me to come on and share this with people, because, you know, the more people that are aware of this, the more people that will become awakened and diligent and protect themselves, because this is coming to a city near you, folks. This right now is for an immigrant that they claim is illegal, which is a lie. A year from now, 6 months from now, they're going to claim that you're an anti-war protester. They're going to claim that, that the hate crimes legislation affects you. All they have to do now is claim it. They don't need any proof anymore because our rights are gone. That's
okay.
All I want to say, Don.
All right, Michael, Okay. Listen, you have a good evening. We'll talk soon. And I want to say goodnight to the listening audience. You have been listening to Michael Herzog, our special guest tonight on Evident Footprints. And we'll have him back for an update sometime in the near future. Definitely, if we get some good news, we'll be hearing something. And, Michael, I want you to feel free to let me know if you've got something that you want to share with the public. The door is open anytime.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that, Don. Okay, and I'll say goodnight to your listening audience and goodnight to you. I need to catch some sleep. I have another show to do tomorrow, so thank you.
All right. You take care, Michael.
All right, bye.
All right, folks, you've been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. Special thanks to Seth Hendrick for the sound and Don Newsom for the new high-speed line. So far, it's working. I hope it's working good on your end. In the meantime, my guest tomorrow for a special 2-hour show. You do not want to miss this show. Dr. Kasim Khalil will be my special guest on Evident Footprints. In the meantime, peace, love, and light, and have a good night.
Details of a simple and proven system that quickly puts $5,000 to $10,000 in many students' pockets every week. What's most amazing is that there are almost no computer skills required, and you can start pulling in cash automatically within just a few hours. We are absolutely convinced that our proven system will create massive wealth for virtually anyone, and we'll prove it. Go to bbscashflow.com now and get all the details. That's bbscashflow.com.